I have some brief comments to make for you in a passage out of Philippians, so turn to Philippians chapter 3. But I do want to give you a little something here that will help you. Philippians chapter 3, Paul said in verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Then he says this, "For our conversation," that's ours, "our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So he says to us in verse 20, our conversation is in heaven, and that he is going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. With that said, he says here in verse 20, you see that our conversation is in heaven, from whence, watch it, he said, we look for the Savior. You see that? Then when he starts chapter 4, he says, therefore. So based upon what he said in chapter 3, we look for the Savior, therefore, there's some things we ought to do. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is indeed a great responsibility, a great charge placed upon us in the ministry to speak those things, Heavenly Father, that are right, to speak those things that are from your word, to speak those things, Father, that you have prepared in us, in your word, to edify your saints. I do pray tonight, Father, that these that have come will truly be strengthened and edified by the preaching of the word of God. Father, I pray for all of those that are working in Bible clubs tonight with the young children, that you will help them, give them strength, grace, wisdom, power. I also pray, Father, that as they teach, what they teach gets into the heart, into the mind of the children. Father, pray for Tony tonight as he's teaching, preaching to the teens, that those things that he's teaching will strengthen them and edify them and help them, give them good instruction that they can follow. Lord, we ask that you do this in a way that you are glorified, that your word is magnified, your son is honored, these dear saints are edified, for we ask you to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. So, having said the things that Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he then opens up chapter 4 with a therefore. Therefore, because we're looking for the Savior, our conversation is heaven, he's going to change our body like it to his glorious body. Therefore, there's some things that we ought to be doing. There ought to be some things happening in our lives. And there are quite a few things that he says here. I just want to mention them to you, and some we'll expand on. So he says in Philippians 4, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, number one, stand fast in the Lord." Because these things are going to happen, stand fast in the Lord. Now, there's an attitude sometimes with people who really don't know the Lord, and you're talking to them about getting saved, and you tell them, you know, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be saved, and you'll be saved forever. And then they'll say something like this, "Then what, if that's the case, then what prevents me from getting saved and then going and living it up until I die, and then I end up in heaven?" And you know what they don't understand is they don't understand salvation. What they don't understand is that when you go from being saved, excuse me, lost, to being saved, and you are now in the Lord, and he wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying when you're looking for the Savior? He says, stand fast in the Lord. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. Don't lose ground. Now, why is that so important to us today? Because everything around you is going into apostasy. And he says, you've got to hold your ground. You've got to stand fast in the Lord. If you stay neutral, you're going to go down with the rest of those things that are going down. So a person who says, when you're talking to him about the Lord, well, I could just go back into the world. He doesn't understand that when you get in the Lord, you don't want to go back into the world. And you want to resist that. Now the world pulls on you. And the world is very alluring. And it sets traps and it presents bait, like fishermen here present bait to fish when they're fishing. Do you know what's in that bait? A hook? There's a hook in that bait. And the Lord said, when you are looking for the Savior, you hold the ground. You stand fast in the Lord. Then he says in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. We read verse 17 of chapter 3 when we started, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. In other words, they're walking in a way that's contrary to the way I'm walking. Mark them so you see that's a way not to walk. Follow me because this is the way you should walk. And then in chapter 4, in verse 9, he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's the next word? Do. Do. It's not enough to fill your head with knowledge. You got to put some footsteps with what you learn and footsteps with your prayer and be busy about the things that God gives you to do as you grow in the ministry, as you grow in the church in which God has you serving Him. So the second thing to do is not only to stand fast in the Lord, but to labor for the Lord. I love what we heard in the letter that Randy read a minute ago, that you find your place of service and your place of training in a local church. And this is where you go through your boot camp and begin to get some battle scars that prepare you for other things the Lord may have you to do down the road. That never happens if you don't labor for the Lord. Some people have said before, do you work in the mission field or are you a mission field? Are we spending all of our time trying to help you? Or are you in a position now where you can start doing some things for the Lord to help others? Labor for the Lord. I remember when the Lord turned my life around, you know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, redeeming the time. And I realized there had been so much time lost. And man, I wanted to get going for the Lord. And frankly, I got going a little too fast because there were so many things that I wanted to get involved in. I will say this, there is an optimum time. He says here in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Just take it at a good pace and do something for the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord and labor for the Lord. Why? He's coming. He's coming. You ought to be doing what He wants you to do. And then He says in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord. So stand fast in the Lord, labor for the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. What's He talking about there? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, people, what I've noticed is they're always looking for something that makes them happy. Unless they're a melancholy type of person who is always looking for something that makes them sad. And there are some people, truly, who find a lot of comfort in being the oh me, me, I pity and getting people to have sympathy on their melancholy way. He says, no, rejoice in the Lord. Well, people do look for all kinds of ways to find joy. Christians look for lots of ways to find joy. And you know what Paul said? Rejoice in the Lord. You say, well, I haven't really found much joy in the Lord. You know why? Because you haven't spent time looking for joy in the Lord. When you start to enjoy fellowship with the Lord, and you and He have good times together, you are not going to find on this side of eternity a better person in whom to find joy, a better person to rejoice with, a person who understands the true joy and how to supply that joy to you than Jesus Christ. There's no better person. And really and truly, what I've experienced in my own life, it's like these other things. When you put an effort forth, labor for the Lord, when you hold the ground that you've gained so that you don't slide backwards, there's a joy in those things and a joy in the person of Jesus Christ that causes you to want to pursue Him more and to hold on to Him more and to do more that pleases Him than anything else in the world. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Then move in that direction. Because that's where the joy is. The joy is in the Lord. It's a person. That's where the joy is. It's not in things. The joy is in a person. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You see, that stuff is all with God. All with the Lord. Then he says this in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here's another thing to do. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. We're praying today, and the thought strikes me from time to time. It struck me today. Right now, if you needed something in a big way, like a brother to have a miraculous healing. I don't know Steve's heart's condition. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking about between him and the Lord. One of my reasons for praying for Steve's recovery that you heard Blake report on is for him to seal his salvation with the Lord if he's not saved. And seal it in such a way that all of his family knows that he's saved. He may not have been prepared for this event. And I thought to myself, that was a heart attack. I couldn't call. I don't know who the cardiologists are now. But back in the day, they were Bernard Christian and Denton Cooley and DeBakey. And they're married around here, Tavares, and I don't remember the other one that does so much good work. What chance would I have of picking up a telephone and saying, hey, you need to go see a friend of mine who, the brother of a friend of mine who desperately needs somebody that understands that heart problem to be there to fix it. The doctors say this is a miracle. What they're admitting is the recovery he's experiencing is beyond our ability. We couldn't do that. We couldn't call any of those doctors. You couldn't call President Trump and get in. You couldn't call Governor Abbott. You couldn't call the mayor. We don't have one. But you can get on your knees and you can talk to the Creator of the universe. And not only that, you can get His ear and His undivided attention, and you can get His response. And not only that, but you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that His response is absolutely 100% the best response that could have ever been given in this entire universe. And you can talk to Him any time of the day and night, any day of the week, any week of the month, any month of the year, any year of your life. Pray to the Lord. That is an awesome thought. It gives me joy. You know, we said stand fast in the Lord. When you pray, the more you pray, I mean fervently pray, the more fastened you are to stand. When Paul said in Ephesians concerning the whole armor of God, he said, stand, and having done all to stand, you know what he said? Pray. Praying always. Your labor for the Lord is absolutely the most productive it is ever going to be when you pray to the Lord. Because He'll organize your day so that, you know, in my life, I'm sure my life is like your life in that on any given day, we have many more things that we can do than we have time to do. And it's hard to sometimes make a choice and decide which one of these things should I be involved in. But I've learned something. When you stop and you take time to pray, and I mean not just a little bit, but pray sufficiently. Pray to the Lord where there's joy, where there's relationship and fellowship in that prayer. You come away from that, your day is going to fall into place. You won't accomplish everything that you could have done on that day, but you will do everything that God wanted you to do that day. And you'll be satisfied when you finish that day that God was pleased. Pray to the Lord. I can't think of a way to occupy your time better now, in this day, in this age, at this time, than to spend time in prayer with God. Really, it troubles me, and I said a little bit about this Sunday night, so I won't really take the time to do it now. Christians are spending way too much time in a lot of other things besides prayer. And those are a waste of time. They are an absolute waste of time. You say, well, I feel like I need to. I know. But I don't think He feels like you need to. I believe He believes that what we need to do is do what He said here. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Pray to God. Pray to the Lord. And then in Philippians 4:8, you've heard this verse much lately. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the Lord. Think on the Lord. Just think about Him. Just allow your mind to meditate on what you've read in the Bible, what you know of the Lord. You know, Ann and I were talking last night as we finished up the day. I had in my life a temperament, and I had a habit, and I had a chemistry, and I had a demeanor. I don't know what all the words are that describe what I had, but I had it. Or better yet, it had me. And I'm going to describe it for you in one succinct way because I am sure that I'm not alone in this, not in this crowd. I feel like there must certainly be others that experience this. Anxiety, worry, stress, whatever you want to call it, has a feeling. Can you feel it? Yeah, it has a feeling. When you have that feeling, and I can describe exactly what it feels like in my body. I won't because it may not feel the same way to you. When I was feeling anxious, my mind would say, there must be something troubling you. And I would start to think about whatever that might be that was contributing to this thought. And when I found it, which usually didn't take a Rolodex, it was right there pretty close to the front. Rolodex. You know what I'm talking about? That's old. DeBakey, Cooley, Christian Bernard, Rolodex. Studebaker. You know. Must be something bothering me, I would think, and I would, of course, I would find something. As soon as I remembered what it was that I was anxious about, afraid of, worried over, then it would release more of that whatever was making me feel that way. And what happened is, it's like that pogo. Remember that rubber band that had that rubber ball and the paddle? And so the thought made the anxiety, and the anxiety contributed to the thought. And I got into a situation where I was just, I might as well beat my head up against the wall, because it was a bang, 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 bang. And there's no relief from that. You finally, you're just so worn out, you finally go to sleep, wake up the next day, and you got that feeling. You go, there must be something troubling me. Oh, that's it right there. And then boom, here come the chemicals again, and you're all messed up for the rest. Anybody ever been like that before? Huh? You try to be, yeah, well, it works. No. He said, I try to be the one that create that in other people. I wish I'd have known that before we asked you to be a deacon. But I broke that cycle. That doesn't happen anymore. That's why I said used to. That cycle it no longer exists in my life. It doesn't exist in my body, doesn't exist in my brain, doesn't exist in my spirit, my demeanor, my makeup. And you know why? For this verse right here, I simply did what the Bible said. He said, start thinking about these things. And when you think about verse 8 and all the things that are in verse 8, you think on the Lord. That calms you down, just like the prayer does, because he says, be careful for nothing. That calms you down and stops that feeling. And it goes away. And it stays away. And it was contributing to a lot of other things. I just told you that personal story because in your life you may experience the same thing. And you are never, I don't care how you try it, you are never going to get over that until you consume your mind with the Lord. And then it'll break. And you can't consume your mind with the Lord when your mind is consumed with other things that aren't true or honest or just. You say, well, I know, but I watch. I just want to make this comment. I watch the news. Okay, which one do you watch? Because neither one of them tell the truth. You watch the conservative one or you watch the liberal one? Because they neither one tell the truth, not completely. But I know this Bible tells the truth. And I don't feel bad after I watch this. But I feel bad after I watch that other. Right? Amen. And then one more thing, and then we'll close here. Won't say too much about it because I've already gone a little bit longer than I wanted tonight under the circumstances. But when you get to verse 10 and read all the way down to verse 17, he's talking here about giving. And he says, in verse 14, notwithstanding you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. You're looking for Jesus to come, give to the Lord. That's what you need to do. And the reason is there's still lots to be done. You hear about these missionaries. I believe that the Lord leads us to do our part. We'll see more about that tonight in the meeting. And so what we do what we believe the Lord's leading us to do. But I'm going to tell you, you can do more. We can do more. Over the years, I have found people stressed over their finances, and when they learn to give, God's way, God loveth the cheerful giver, it solves their financial problems. Absolutely. God works over the family budget. God works over your heart, so your desires change. A lot of things you used to waste money on, you don't waste money on anymore. The bills get paid. You sleep at night comfortable that regardless of what kind of economic news you're hearing out there, you are tied into the God of the universe that knows how to take care of His people. And giving is the key. So let me just summarize it again. As you're waiting for the Lord, you're looking for the Savior, do these things. Stand fast in the Lord. Labor for the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Think on the Lord. And give to the Lord. And you'll be ready for His return any moment of any day when He decides to come. Amen? Father, we're sure thankful to be encouraged tonight out of the book of Philippians on some things we ought to be doing while we wait for You to come. And as John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.